Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime.
So today, Catherine, I wanted to talk about when an employee has a high IQ but a low EQ, low emotional intelligence. And yeah. It was really brought to my attention by a client of ours that has somebody that's very bright, knows how to do her job really well, but mm-hmm. has low EQ,
yeah.
doesn't read other people very well, doesn't read herself very well.
Yeah.
And he was saying to me how that can really wreak havoc on an organization
yeah.
when you have somebody competent like that.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought it was a good topic.
It is. It's a really interesting one. And I think one that we were talking about earlier can vary from company to company mm-hmm. and culture to culture.
And industry to industry.
Yeah, for sure. So I thought we'd start with just making a few definitions.
Okay.
So by IQ, we're going to be talking about logical reasoning, word comprehension, math skills. It's sort of applied learning and the ability to learn and apply various theory to solve problems, concrete problems.
And I think in the workplace, it's also degrees. It's also what, you know,
yeah.
what, the knowledge you know that you bring.
Right, right. Well, so Your IQ is the knowledge that you bring, the intellectual knowledge that you're bringing. And then the EQ has to do with your emotional skills and capabilities. And one thing that I found on psychcentral.com mm-hmm. gave five categories for EQ. And I thought these were really interesting. The first was self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Second is self-regulation. So yeah. being able to regulate your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions, your reactions mm-hmm. to people. Third is motivation and the ability also to delay gratification. Mm-hmm. Fourth is empathy. And fifth is social skills.
And that's about sums it up. That's yeah. that is really accurate.
Yeah.
That if you are missing those elements, it's going to be difficult for you to work in a workplace that has other people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you work in an organization that's completely maybe technology driven.
Yeah.
And you don't have too many teammates. Maybe you work remotely. Uh-huh. Or even when you do have teammates, there isn't much interaction.
Yeah.
That might be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, it could be fine in a number of situations. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think what often will happen is someone who has high IQ is put in a position of authority or leadership position. And the problem really lies for the people who have to report that to that person or who have to interface with that person, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's a client or whether it's employees who are trying to deal with them, because they will not have good impulse control. They may say things that are very inappropriate. They may offend people without even realizing.
They don't know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Right. They don't really. I mean, if you explain it to them later, maybe they can kind of get it.
Sometimes.
Or they can act like they get it. But that's no guarantee they're not going to do it again.
Yeah. 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 And I think the thing that's interesting is companies have to, and I think you were talking about this, Kathy, you were doing some research about what do companies favor, mm-hmm. EQ or IQ. Mm-hmm. And I think that, as you say, it differs from industry to industry. I know a number of people who work in finance and the stock market, and for them, EQ is not really a requirement, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but IQ is. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to have a certain kind of really strong intelligence that's related to the numbers, to the mm-hmm. markets, to trends, to spotting things before they happen. Mm-hmm. Whereas you can scream it. I mean, the individuals I know of have told about, you know, they are, the people who are in leadership positions may scream at others. They may say horrible things to people. They may insult them. They may brag about their accomplishments. And none of that is considered over the top because it's sort of all mm-hmm. their product, their production is high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. I think it's, to me, I think that where we're moving yeah. in our world of work is more in a collaborative model, not even as much of a hierarchy as we used to have. So this is when teams are needed and, you know, cross-pollination. And this is where I think EQ really does matter.
Yeah.
And from some of the reading I was doing, it doesn't say that IQ is not important. It's still very, very important. You have to be able to do your job and you have to do it well.
Yeah.
But the ability to get along with others and read others and, you know, being empathetic and and knowing how to work within a group and get the work done, that's not easy. That takes some some emotional intelligence.
Yeah, as does delaying gratification.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact is that anything that's worth working on usually will take, you have to emotionally endure being patient enough to have the product and being able to commit to whatever it takes to get a product or a service off the ground and to deal with any problems that come up. That takes EQ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. So you can understand that if your company is based, you know, on high IQ, but also on high EQ, and you work in an industry where that's necessary, or your company that's what's necessary, that when somebody comes in who doesn't have that, it's going to really upset other workers.
Yeah, it's going to ruffle a lot of feathers.
And unfortunately, I think it's the downfall of that person and will ultimately lead to their dismissal.
Yeah.
Because it's fascinating to me how it doesn't matter how good you are at your job, if you can't motivate others or get along with others or inspire others, I mean, you lose trust, you lose faith, you lose all kinds of important things when you piss people off by your behavior. So it will hurt in the long run.
Yeah. I mean, it's specific, and especially if a company, as you say, values that, you know, and so your inability to get along or your inability to be tactful, perhaps, in the way you communicate with others or respectful in the way you interact with others, that's going to be a real liability. I think the challenge is, however, that many, it's just like IQ. A person who has a 70 IQ doesn't know that they're not that intelligent. Mm-hmm. That's just the level of intelligence they have and know. Whereas a person who has a low EQ, I think very often is completely unaware of the impact of their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way.
That's the part that's so maddening, I think, is that they don't understand why everyone else cares so much.
That's right. You're so sensitive.
You're so emotional.
I was only kidding.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
About you looking fat in that dress.
Right. I'm just wondering, I mean, if IQ are like skill sets that are probably more easily discernible on a resume, how would somebody like, for instance, through an interview process be able to discern someone's EQ?
Great
like
question.
What questions would you ask? Like, how would you be able to figure that out?
I think there's a lot of questions you can ask about, you know, how you got along with your boss and, you know, did you manage people and what's your management style? And, you know, tell us a time when you had to deal with a difficult client or a difficult coworker or what happened.
Tell us about a conflict that you were able to resolve.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but that's, I think, what companies should be looking for if that's what they value.
Yeah.
They should be looking for that on the interview. And, you know, there's, I think it was a president of Zappo, I can't remember who, he takes all interviewees out to a restaurant to see how they treat the wait staff.
Ah, very interesting.
Yeah. And I've heard a lot of people, not just the waitstaff, but just to see what you're like socially. Because they're taking you out of a professional environment and they want to see.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
You know, still, you don't really know somebody's full range of EQ until you've lived with them for a while, unfortunately.
Right.
And I was reading.
You can't stand them anymore. No.
Well, I was reading an article about what, you know, from five top HR people and what they'd like to see different in the interview process. And one said, speed it up. And I thought, no.
Speed it up. Oh, geez.
It's so important to actually, I think, you know, not speed it up, to make sure that you put this person in a couple of situations. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm big on that. And a lot of people do that. The interview process can be quite lengthy.
Yeah.
And it matters because you can't tell.
Right. Well, that's what's interesting about if you give someone a work task or put them in a situation mm-hmm. where they have to do a presentation, is then they're, instead of them telling you about themselves, they're showing you, mm-hmm. demonstrating who they are. And I think that's also, I mean, you've often explained that to me, Kathy, that when you ask previous employers or previous peers how this person operated, whatever historically is happening, that's telling you about what's coming down the pike with the same individual. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not like they're suddenly, well, that was a difficult situation, and now I'm going to be far more measured. Mm-hmm. And
mm-hmm. But it's not as obvious to see these skills versus IQ and
that's
what
right.
somebody's workplace skills are. It's much more difficult to see their EQ.
Yeah.
But it is really what you're going to be judging them on. We used to say you hire skill and live with personality.
Yeah.
And that's really the same thing.
Yes.
That it's their personality
yeah.
and how they professionally behave.
And some companies do give personality tests.
Yes, you can do that.
They really want to see how will you mix with us, and they have a whole kind of grid that shows every member of the team what their personality features are, and so they figured out that this is the mix that we need that can really work here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way to determine the importance of EQ, but I don't think many employers do that, do they?
I think it's expensive
yeah.
to put people through that testing and have it analyzed, so smaller companies don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think many companies will go through the kind of interview process where it's not just one person.
Yeah,
that they have the team interview them, they have several people interview them, and then it's a sort of a consensus, and that can still be wrong. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't. I always say it's a crapshoot. You don't really know. That's why I believe in slowing it down.
Yeah.
Because that, the longer you take, people show who they are.
Well, I'm thinking that the individual who we're both thinking of in this organization that has high IQ and low EQ probably interviewed very well, which is
yes.
what someone with high IQ can do,
mm-hmm.
regardless of their EQ.
Mm-hmm. And they may have generated tremendous results previously because they're good at what they do.
Right.
But can't really get along with too many people.
Yeah.
I think that's a hazard. That's really a hazard in a company. And that, you can try to help somebody have higher EQ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And and they can set out. I have seen people get better at it, not great.
Well, I think
better.
You've been hired to help people get
yes.
better at it, right?
Yes.
And actually, we've been brought in a few times to try to assist certain individuals in getting better.
That's right. And we have helped people get better incrementally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely been some that I have said, there's just not a willingness.
Right.
There's not, they don't want to take this on.
Right. Right, which just brings...
Which is rare, by the way.
That there's not a willingness?
Yeah.
I think so. So to me, that's when there are deeper issues at play.
Ah, tell me, what's that?
Well, Kathy, that's usually when the person their personality may be such that they can't, they're quite narcissistic, to use an overused term. But what really narcissism means is that you can't handle the truth. You can't really self-reflect.
Uh-huh. So you don't believe it?
No. If someone tells you that you're doing something wrong or that there's a way that you're behaving that's really offending people, that individual may nod and say, yes, I get it. Let me see if I can do it better. But really, they're not. They're wiping it away because psychologically, they can't afford to live with that critique.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the ability to go internally and see how they may be affecting the situation.
Yeah, it's always so hard for me to believe that. Because I take everything people tell me so seriously, and I go in, and I may spend days
That's
going
right.
in and trying to work.
Right.
So I hear you, and I certainly have seen it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've come up against it plenty.
Yeah.
And
It's like a form of literacy, psychological literacy, mm-hmm. that if you don't have it, it's you can't really fabricate it. And I really agree with you that it's if you have it. it's so hard to imagine that someone else doesn't. And mm-hmm. it may be actually that IQ, people with high IQ, maybe that's why they're often calling people idiots around them, because they can't imagine it's so what's so easy for them. They mm-hmm. don't understand why others would even pause, you know,
right.
at solving the problem.
So what if this person, you know, is asking for help, but then yeah. doesn't take it in, but then blames it on the person who's giving them the help? What is that part of it?
Oh, that could be a lovely part of it. Yeah. I mean, I think what happens, but I think what's true for companies, and this is where job descriptions become so important and, you know, codes of behavior become so important, is that there comes a point where you have to draw a line in the sand and say, okay, if you can't meet these qualifications, if you can't behave in this manner, we really have to let you go. Because it's hurting business. It mm-hmm. may be hurting morale, and it may be hurting other employees. Mm-hmm. But certainly you can give that person the tools or a chance. You know, I think when you're talking before, I was thinking this is probably why executive coaching has grown as rapidly as it has. Mm-hmm. I think as the workforce has changed, the EQ requirements are much higher probably.
I think that they're
going to
keep getting higher also. I yeah. don't think mm-hmm. it's going away.
No. No, so you might as well work on it.
But you're saying that there is a part of the population that can't.
Yes, exactly.
So then what do they have to do, start their own business?
Or go into an industry where it's not a requirement. Yeah.
Right, right. Mm.
I think so. Or do something that's rather solitary, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's research, not that research is solitary, but certain kinds of research maybe. Mm-hmm. You mentioned technology, certain kinds of tech jobs may be more so have a solo quality to them. I mean, it's not that you can't weigh in. It's you can certainly contribute to a team and weigh in. It's just you're going to have a hard time creating cohesion mm-hmm. with the people you work with, because you may inadvertently be alienating them at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, well, guess what we're saying is EQ is becoming more and more important, you're saying, Kathy.
Look, this is where we come from because our work is EQ. So yeah. I really see the value in it.
Right.
And I sometimes believe that you can teach people, you know, a skill. You can teach somebody a job. You can't really teach them EQ if they don't have it.
Right. I think what you can teach,
you can teach a little bit, though.
Yeah. For mm-hmm. example, you can help people with self-awareness and self-regulation. You can help. Yeah. We help people with that all the
Definitely.
Time.
Definitely.
And that's mm-hmm. what unhooking is about, right? Which is to, someone is seriously upsetting you. Here are steps you can take that will calm your system down, show you your options, and allow you to say something that moves the situation forward. That's all EQ. Those are all EQ skills. So if the person has the capacity, they can certainly learn it. Mm-hmm. But the bigger question we're really posing here is not everyone may have that capacity. And if you don't, what do you do?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's probably harder to teach someone empathy versus yes. self-awareness.
I don't know that you can teach empathy. That's a good one.
Right. I think that's something that...
That's a human...
Right.
I yeah. don't know. Can you teach empathy?
Well, the few programs that have been successful in that are usually actually sort of group trainings, workshops, trips, outward bound kind of things mm-hmm. where they actually did a study with prisoners who learned empathy by virtue of backing each other up on a really tough project and helping each other get through the project. Mm-hmm. So you can create situations that if it's there in capacity, will draw on that and help it grow a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's very hard. Yeah, it's very hard to develop for someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, imagine that's something you learn from very young.
Or come in with, you mm-hmm. know. Have mm-hmm. and you know those people. And one thing that I think is very interesting about EQ is even if you have a high EQ, you also have to manage that, because let's say you're mm-hmm. super sensitive and you pick up on other people's feelings and you then become very empathetic. Well, you don't want to burn out on that, mm-hmm. right? You can't lose yourself to what you're worried about other people are feeling in the moment. Mm-hmm. And again, studies of leadership have shown that a few narcissistic tendencies aren't bad for leaders of very large organizations, because they're going to have to make tough decisions mm-hmm. that, and everyone's not going to be pleased.
Right.
you know.
Yeah. Good point.
Kathy's furrowing her brow.
yeah, well, I'm just thinking of this particular person who really could not take it in at all. And I ended up yelling at thinking that that, you know, like talking to somebody who can't hear. Just say it a little louder. Maybe they'll hear it then.
Right.
And because I could not believe the deafness, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't just take it in. Whatever was just.
Well, her reaction really was to just cry.
Yeah, which I think is a sure sign that they don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, clearly.
In the moment.
No, it was more like, you don't like me.
Yeah.
Right, right. More
but
of
you're
an attacking
asking,
rather than a
And this is who
critique.
I am, and you're asking me to be somebody else.
Right,
and
right.
That's not at all. So to me, that was one of the worst. That's the worst I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it the worst you've seen?
I think it's the worst I've seen. You know, in terms of in working with individuals, yeah.
Yeah.
Although we had another client who was a screamer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That was another one.
Yeah.
I guess we've seen worse. But, you know, we've seen so much. It's hard to really put people in categories. But anyway,
yeah.
I think the topic should be continued. I think it's really interesting. From what I see, I think it's becoming more and more important. I went to a really interesting lecture this week about the future of education.
Yeah.
And what they're describing, the new university, the new way of teaching, is really people working in a collaborative model, not
right.
in a hierarchy at all.
Right.
And
right.
as those hierarchies break down, you're going to have to work with other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. I was thinking, Logan, for you, how important is EQ in the work that you do or the people you interact with?
Oh, I mean, it's very important. I do massage outside of producing this great podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be a highly empathetic and compassionate person to do any kind of, I think,
right.
health-related
yeah.
thing, whether it's acupuncture, mm-hmm. massage.
Right, and I think traditionally those are the areas where high EQ people are drawn to,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Same with...
Absolutely.
Yeah, human services and...
Right.
Any volunteer work? Yeah.
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 All right, well, to be continued, join us next time for another My Crazy Office Overtime, and certainly we'd love to hear your stories about EQ and IQ. Send them to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.